Ideon, yeah. A captured footage of a rider on an e-scooter overtaking his Tesla at a speed of 90 kilometres per hour. That's up there, isn't it? It was a shock to see the guy going past us. I was doing 83. He said the scooter had a small profile, was poorly lit from the back, and his wife in the Tesla and him, they felt that it would be an easy for a motorist to miss the scooter if they were changing lanes. The rider was passing most of the cars on the motorway, and he continued to weave through traffic before getting off at Great North Road. It's not like the first time the rider has raised eyebrows. Apparently, he said that he posted some footage on social media. He said a friend got in contact to say that they had also seen them speeding down the Norwestern Motorway on the cycleway. It's generally understood that mopeds and scooters should not be ridden on motorways because their top speed isn't fast enough to join the traffic safely. But the new high-powered e-scooters may sit in a legal grey area. A spokesperson for New Zealand Transport said any e-scooter that had a top speed of above 50 kilometres per hour was legally classed as a motorcycle. In fact, any e-scooter with a power level above the relatively small threshold of 300 watts cannot be lawfully ridden on any road unless it is warranted and registered. Motorways are high-speed environments, so it is important that all vehicles using them are legally and appropriately registered and licensed.
Bullshit. Just get your horse and cart out.
I know. I'm going to do that. I'm going to ride my horse and cart into town. And no warrant of fitness and registration. I'll be like, I might even shave the top, like shave my mow off. And I can be like,
You're the Amish.
Yeah, that's right. I could be like an Amishman. Except I won't be religious. I'm a Christian, but I wouldn't say I'm religious. I use Bible words, don't I?
Yes, you do, like piss and bastard.
I know. Never mind. Hey, it's 6 o'clock. We better have a look at the weather. Let's sort out some weather. And then after six, we'll have Jeffrey Miller, a nice little instrumental from him. We'll also hear about Brazil on the brink of dictatorship, and also from the Christian Voice New Zealand talking about Brian Tamaki. And more on the vax murderers, and a lack of action causes stress. You've got to make sure that you do things, get it done. And also we'll be hearing about the brain chip as well. All these things are coming up after the weather at six. Just a quick reminder on the boosting thing. You don't want to get a booster. Stay away from any vaccines is my humble opinion. I'm very humble about it. I'm proud to say that I'm very humble. We'll be back in a minute with weather.
Another discovery a few months ago, there was a discovery that if you've had two COVID vaccines, you start to produce a little bit of this new antibody, this IgG4. But if you've had three vaccines, if you had the booster shot, your IgG4 levels go up 500-fold.
Wow.
And then suddenly it goes from 0.04% to 20% of the antibodies you're producing. And that shifts your immune system completely. You're not producing IgG 1 and 3 anymore, and these are the antibodies that actually handle the viral infections, but they also handle cancer surveillance.
Wow.
So you're more likely now to get infected, not just with COVID-19. So you see people who've had their booster shot, three vaccines, four vaccines, five vaccines, they keep getting reinfected with COVID-19 over and over, or they get sick very often with influenza. But you're also reducing cancer surveillance as well. That could be another mechanism by which all these terminal cancers are arising in people who've had three or more shots.
Gosh, that's terrible, isn't it? Eh? Shocking.
88.1 FM, The Wireless Weather.
Right, well, we're looking at the recreational forecast, and it's not, I don't think this should be doing too much recreation today, because up in the Bay of Islands there is a strong wind warning advisory in force. Let's have a look at the coastal situation first of all. The front continues to impact the South Island today. A low develops on the front of the Tasman Sea and slowly approaching the country, while the front offers the entire country on Thursday. Front moves to the east on Friday, while the low lies slow moving over the west of the South Island. And the low crosses the country and weakens on Saturday, making way for a ridge of high pressure in the Tasman Sea to move eastwards. There's a strong wind warning advisory in force for the Bay of Islands. The northeasterlies today of 20 knots, rising to 25 knots, gusting 35 knots late evening. Seas becoming rough.
Blimey, we better get some more screws on that iron roof we put on.
I know, we better, eh? It's going to be very rough late evening, partly cloudy with a chance of a shower, an easterly swell of 1 metre. I'm say that'll be going up. On Thursday, tomorrow, northwesters, 25 knots, rising to 30 knots early, showers turning to rain, easterly swell of 1 metre, rising to 1.5 metres. Now we go across to Hawke's Bay, and Hawke's Bay today, northerlies of 15 knots, easing to northeast 10 knots for a time in the morning. And in the afternoon, seas will be slight with fine weather, an easterly swell of 1 metre. You've got an easterly swell of 1 metre north of Cape Kidnappers and Mohaka, easing to half a metre with an easterly swell of, southerly swell. And I better read that again. Southerly swell of 1 metre east of Cape Kidnappers and Mohaka, easing to half a metre, and an easterly swell will join that at half a metre. Tomorrow, northerlies 15 knots, rising to 20 knots. Northeasterlies early in the morning. Fine weather, becoming cloudy later though, with an easterly swell of half a metre, rising to a metre for a time. The southerly swell also of half a metre east of Cape Kidnappers and Mohaka. Moving down to Wellington, there's a strong wind warning advisory in force today. 25 knot winds from the north, gusting 35 knots, easing to 10 knots late this afternoon, rising to northerly 15 knots overnight. Seas easing late afternoon. Cloudy periods becoming mainly fine in the afternoon. You've got the south coast and Palliser Bay. You've got a southerly swell there of 1 metre, easing to half a metre. For Castle Point, northeast swell of 1 metre and an easterly swell of 1 metre, easing to half a metre. Tomorrow, northerlies 15 knots, rising to 25 knots in the afternoon, gusting 30. A few showers developing for the south coast and Palliser Bay. Southwest swell of half a metre, rising to a metre. For Castle Point, an easterly swell of a metre, rising to 1.5 metres. And a southwest swell of half a metre, rising to 1.5 metres as well. And that is the weather for Wellington and Hawke's Bay, and also for the Bay of Islands. Okay, coming up, we've got a Geoffrey Miller song.
My responsibility
was... hold on. Yeah, we've got a Geoffrey Miller song, and then we're going to hear from the guy that was involved with the Mark of the Beast, the chip. Here's Geoffrey Miller.
Such a heartbreaker. One day you won my love, next day you've had enough. So dizzy from your carousel, you take me to the clouds just to drive me down. So cold inside and I can't let you go. I'm just another victim of your game. Till I win. Girl, you hit me like a wave crashing in the ocean. Your beauty covers up the fake, didn't see it coming. One day you won my love, and say you've had. From your carousel, you take me to the clouds just to drop me down. So cold inside and I can't let you go. I'm just another victim of your game. Till I win. Girl, you hit me like a wave.
There we are. That's a lovely little track there from Jeffrey Miller. Now, Steve Hook, who was formerly at TNT Radio, he put me onto that one. It's a beauty, isn't it? 9 minutes past six. Very good morning to you. Hope your morning's going well. Right now, we're going to hear from the guy that was involved with the chip, marking the chip, and he's going to tell us why they chose to put it, why the Bible says it's going to be in the right hand and the forehead. It's all to do with temperature. It's all to do with how to make it the batteries work. It needs heat, apparently. I think they use lithium. Let's find out about that now. I think this is an old piece, but it's well worth listening to. 10 minutes past six.
My responsibility was project leader or the senior project engineer. We begin to work on the design of a microchip that, when it was completed, was 0.75 millimeters in diameter, 7 millimeters long. It was the size of 1/4 of a grain of rice. Again, I want to say that I was not a Christian and there were no Christians there. They said they wanted this to have a power source and be able to emit a signal. And they told us they wanted us to use lithium as a battery source. Lithium's used in watch batteries, it's used in heart pacemaker batteries, it's used in a lot of places. I designed into this microchip a little charging circuit that would charge that battery. This sounds like a lot of technical things coming together, but if you'll bear with me 1 minute, you'll see what God has laid out about this microchip. When we discovered that we needed to be able to charge that battery, I needed a change in temperature, to cause current to flow through that little charging circuit that would charge the battery. So we began to investigate and find out where in the body does the temperature change the most rapidly. We spent over $1 million in taxpayer money, and when the results came back, there was a lot of information. We divided it up amongst three teams and then came back together with that information. It was determined that there were two places in the body that were ideal for the microchip. One was just below the hairline on the forehead. Every mother checks their child's temperature right here. So we could have paid the mothers $1 million and saved them. I never saw a mother check their child's temperature on their ankle. Always right here. The other place was the hand, the right hand preferred, because most people are right-handed. This didn't bother me, and it didn't bother anybody else on the team. The hand seemed a good place. Nobody wanted it here. And so the design work, everything was completed. The microchip was done. You are seeing it now on some of the Discovery Channel presentations. There are people who have received it already. It is real. It's not something that's coming way down the road. They gave me a Bible. They told me not to read the book of Revelation. They said the book of Revelation is too hard to understand. So I waited, and I didn't read the book of Revelation for quite some time. Then one day I came to Revelation 13, verse 16. And he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their forehead. I didn't like what I saw. I went back and looked up the word mark. I went to the Strong's Concordance. And I found that John had used three words for the word mark. Charagma, charicature, and charax. That was from the Greek. I looked at those words. They talked about a scratch or an etching. They talked about a lot of things. And I said, God, this isn't it. We didn't do it. He said, go to the word for 666. The word is chixastigma. In the Greek, it says to go to 4742 as a cross. The last half of the word chixastigma. And when I looked at what it said, it says, stizo, i.e. to stick, to prick, a mark incised or punched into for recognition of ownership. I thought about the little injection tool. The end of it is called an incisor. I began to weep and I began to cry and I said, oh God, what have we done? I couldn't believe that this lined up with what we had developed. And I began to run from God. I didn't run away from the church, I ran into the church. I tried to do as many things as I could to atone for this. But I want to tell you something, as God is my witness here tonight, this got in the way. Money got in the way. I had beautiful homes overlooking the lake. I had all the things that I wanted. And I ran because of the money. My ability to go and get $250,000 in research money took me away from telling the message. I ran for many years. What I want to tell you is that this is real. The microchip implant is real. Credit cards are failing. They can be counterfeited. The new smart card can be counterfeited. They can be stolen. They can be lost. All kinds of things can happen to a card. But you cannot lose your hand. Very quickly, they're going to move to this being in the hand. And I tell you as a Christian, you cannot take this. No matter what anybody says, God's word says you cannot take it. No matter what they try to talk you into, God's word says don't take it. In Revelation 14, verse 9, and the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast in his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night, who worship the beast in his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. It's very simple. God's word says to do not take it. Today there have been over 15,000 babies that have been given the positive identification, the microchip. Many companies are using the microchip as identification in their top-level employees. The Immigration Naturalization Service has a better passport, the human hand. So many of these things are all around us. We talk about the signs of the New World Order. God has spelled out in His Word just exactly what's going on today in the New World Order. Satan desires to have a one-world government. From the time he fell, he said, I want a one-world government. He wants to replace God. And so we see a government put together by men, a one-world government. The signs of the times are all around us.
They certainly are. 17 minutes past six, you're listening to The World Gone Mad with Grant Edwards and Digger Davidson. We've got international news coming up. But before we do have international news, if you're procrastinating, that, you know, that causes stress. International news coming up after this.
Stress doesn't come from hard work. The stress primarily comes from not taking action over something that you can have some control over. Stress comes from ignoring things that you shouldn't be ignoring.
88.1 FM, The Wireless International News.
Right, we're at abc.net looking at the news over there and the recent stories that have just come in, and we've got the Sirocco, I think that's how you say it, it might be S-C-R-O-I-R-O, a survey that finds most Australians want moderately paced energy transition. The survey says that Australians' attitude towards renewable energy transition, it finds that almost half of the survey, they feel that the shift should be moderately paced, and they're more unwilling to accept higher bills as well. A competition watchdog is to get a boost in powers that could make it easier to block mergers causing consumer harm. Australia's competition watchdog, the ACCC, will be given far stronger powers to prevent companies making repeated under-the-radar acquisitions that could harm competition and consumers. The changes are the biggest reforms to merger settings in almost 50 years. It undermines Hamas. Wong suggests Australian government considering recognising Palestinian statehood. Australian Foreign Minister Penny Wong suggests the federal government is contemplating recognising Palestinian statehood, saying international recognition could help build momentum towards a two-state solution with Israel. Can't have friggin' terrorists living next door to you. I'm so sorry. Teresa had a minor procedure to treat her chronic pain. The surgeon struck her spinal cord. People with chronic pain are suffering infections, shock, and even more pain from device advertised as safe and effective. Another one of those safe and effective ones. There are now calls for them to be recalled following the Four Corners program investigation. A psychologist compares impact of mining to alcohol abuse during the court testimony. As a hearing of a $500 million plus compensation case against Fortescue Metals Group resumed, a clinical psychologist says traditional owners report significant trauma associated with mining in their community. A Swiss woman is to win a human rights court on the climate argument, but two separate cases ruled inadmissible. Europe's Human Rights Court has ruled there are two of these of the three key climate change cases before the court are inadmissible, but found that in favour of another. A group of Swiss women say that their government's climate fight is woefully inadequate and should be named. Maguire. They want the AFL to toughen Code's illicit drug policy. Independent MP Andrew Wilkie's allegation of rampant illicit drug use in the AFL have rocked the game, and now stakeholders past and present face a divide on what is best for the sport and the players themselves. Tasmania's Mona, M-O-N-A, gallery ordered to permit men inside women-only lounge. Mona. Refusing to allow men to enter its ladies' lounge was discriminatory, and a tribunal, this is what they found, the tribunal's deputy president has also called out the behaviour of a group of women in their performance art during the hearing in March. Taiwan is to practice responding to the Chinese attacks during the annual military exercise. Taipei says its military will simulate a scenario in which China suddenly turns one of its regular drills into the island into an actual attack. An inquest into the death of a Cleveland Dodd. He is humane treatment impossible at notorious 18 unit, unit number 18. The coronial inquest into Western Australia's first recorded death in youth custody has heard it's not possible to treat detainees lawfully and humanely at unit 18. Warning. There is a warning if you read that one. A Cranbrook's teacher who allegedly sent graphic emails banned from teaching in New South Wales schools. The Cranbrook school teacher, who has been on leave following the Four Corners revelation, has been temporarily banned from teaching in New South Wales schools. Walker Corporation is to build 38-storey tower on the Adelaide's Festival Plaza. The new 38-storey skyscraper will be overshadowing South Australia's Parliament building and will be constructed by Walker Corporation. It has only just been announced, but already dividing political opinions. Northern Territory Chief Minister rejects three recommendations for long-awaited new Northern Territory Police Review. The review was announced by the government late last year following a tumultuous few years for the force. Here's what's been rejected and some of the major changes. You can go to that story and have a read. It's over at abc.net.au. And there's a war happening in Indonesia that you probably don't know about. A playful war that erupted in Indonesia after non-Muslims started buying up snacks and food usually eaten to break the fast during Ramadan. You're on a fast today, aren't you, Digger?
Yeah, I haven't only had three cigarettes this morning so far.
Oh, okay. Brittany Higgins gave an unwavering account of alleged rape throughout the defamation trial, according to the lawyer. Patrick Bell is the reporter here. Federal court has published final submissions made by Brittany Higgins in Bruce Lemoine's defamation case against Network 10 and journalist Lisa Wilkinson. Contrasting fortunes for Origin duo as South's Axe Cook and Broncos welcome Welsh. Damien Cook is the victim of a shake-up by Rabbitohs coach Jason Demetrio, while the Broncos are buoyed by Reece Welsh's shock early retirement from injury. Turrell reveals criticism from Lambie Network board members, a fueled decision to resign. ABC Radio Hobart, this was reported by them, ex-Jackie Lambie Network member Tammy Turrell reveals that she split from the party after being told by the JLLN board that by the members that she wasn't performing well enough, but who's on the board remains unclear. And more than one third of Australian music festivals are not profitable, according to new data released. While one music festival took a profit of almost $30 million, only 56% of similar events are profitable, new research from Creative Australia has found. A winery using more electricity than a small town turns to solar power as industry pushes to decarbonise. One of Australia's largest wineries, Casella Family Brands, has installed more than 9,000 solar panels, enough to power more than 1,900 homes. A registered sex offender arrested in Canberra charged with possessing and transmitting child sex abuse material. Registered sex offender is arrested at the property of at a property in Canberra. Terrible, nasty. I'm a doctor, still can't get a house. Adelaide overtakes Perth as the tightest capital city rental market. Adelaide now has the tightest rental market in the country after overtaking Perth as the capital city with the lowest vacancy rate in Australia. And whatever happened, it's happened. Rodeo Nova puts Tennis Australia rift behind her ahead of Billie Jean King Cup tie. That's Arina Radionova. She said that she was not liked by high ups as the tennis at Tennis Australia, where she was refused an Australian Open wildcard. But the Russian-born world number one, she's not number one, she's number 103, is putting that into the past. And farmer charged with hammering Aboriginal heritage after stones allegedly moved from giant eel arrangement. An eel arrangement? They've got eels in Aussie. A Western Victorian man is accused of altering the stone arrangement believed to be 1,500 years old, but he is disputing the site's history, suggesting it's not of Aboriginal origins. No, it won't be. It'll be flipping Middle Eastern sailors. Water Minister floats desalinated water solution to reduce the Wongumba flood risk. As the Hawkesbury deals with a severe flood in 18 months, its severest flood. New South Wales Minister Rose Jackson, a flood mitigation idea involves reducing the city's reliance on the Wongumba Dam. A body of a woman has been found 3 days after falling at a popular waterfall in New South Wales. Police believe the woman, aged in her 20s, was bushwalking when she slipped and fell more than 100 metres into a creek at Belmore Falls in the state's southern highlands. A judgment in the Bruce Lemoine's defamation case will be handed down on Monday, that's next week. 200,000 Torah students, that's Jewish, are allegedly protecting Israel. Critics say it's time they fought. The ultra-Orthodox community have always been exempt from mandatory military service. Did you know that?
I read something about that.
But a ruling in the country's highest court has changed everything. A mate protects a mate. Jack Wrighton comes to Latrell Mitchell's defence after the ban. Jack Wrighton is reluctant to discuss the plight of the Rabbitohs teammate, Latrell Mitchell, who has apologised to his teammates after copping a three-match suspension. Gold Coast 13-kilometre tram ride could cost more than Brisbane's Cross River Rail, according to Minister. The preliminary evaluation of Stage 4 of the light rail has found it could cost between $3.1 billion and $7.5 billion, more than the state's largest infrastructure project to date, although Transport Minister Bart Mellish says no government money has been committed. $4.3 million in the Stark under pressure amid wicketless IPL run. Oh, what's that? Cricket. And Sydney drivers could be eligible for up to $340 a week in toll relief from today. You can find out who qualifies for that for your Aussie listeners. In January, the New South Wales government toll rebate system came into effect. Claims have opened today, Wednesday. Who's going to be eligible and how you can actually claim your claim. Security guard ditches cruisy Canberra gig to revive legacy of publican mate killed in by a crocodile. Far out. The far north Queensland town has been without a pub since its publican was killed by a crocodile a year ago. A long-time friend says he couldn't sit and watch his mate's hard work go to waste. And $1 a kilo for chicken meat. That's the deal Australian growers say that they are forced to accept. Chicken farmers want an industry code of conduct to protect their industry from what they call unscrupulous and powerful processors. And also, we heard from Dr. Sam Bailey yesterday about the avian flu and all that killing that went on, and then also back in 95 with the mad cow disease. Some of those nonsense. No evidential foundation for any viruses, just they went and did it. Just I don't know, just craziness, isn't it? The world's run by imbeciles. It's a mental asylum, isn't it? The world gone mad, run by the inmates. A mother of 4-year-old Blake Corney, a suing truck driver who caused the crash that killed her son. The mother of the 4-year-old Blake Corney, who died in a horrific crash on the Monaro Highway in Canberra, is suing the truck driver who ploughed into the family car as they waited at a red light in 2018. Transgender woman sues women-only social media platform she was excluded from. We read about that earlier. Okay, that's the news from apnews.whatever. Now we'll go across to that was from abcnet.au. Now we'll go to AP World News. And the latest there, a verdict saying that Switzerland violated rights by failing on climate action could ripple across Europe.
Gosh, your reading's shocking.
I know. Sometimes I have these little moments. Make me another coffee. That might help. Might have a cigarette. Light me one up.
No, you don't smoke.
No, I don't. Europe's highest human rights court has ruled that its member nations must better protect their citizens from the consequences of climate change. That's more rubbish, isn't it, Digger?
Yeah, absolute nonsense.
A South Korean parliamentary election. Here's what people are worried about as they vote this week. The South Koreans head to the polls to elect a new 300-member parliament. They need that many. This week, many are choosing their livelihoods and other domestic concerns as the most important election issues. If you want to know more about that, you go over to apnews.com and find out about that. Bulgarian parliament formally approves caretaker government to run the country until June the 9th elections. Bulgaria's parliament has formally approved. Just going to repeat what it's just said in the heading. Watchdog therapy. Apparently it comforts anxious travellers in Istanbul airport. I'm just looking at a video of these nice little pooches with little saddles on them, you know, sort of little covers over them walking along. Keeps you calm. Five furry companions have been by the aviation hub. Been hired by the aviation hub to provide anxious passengers a supportive experience. Anyway, more rubbish. Let's look at the regions. Go to Europe now. And China's Xi Jinping meets with the Russian foreign minister, Lavrov, in a show of support against Western democracies. Simon Harris is installed as Ireland's new prime minister. He's the country's youngest leader. Amanda Knox faces a new slander trial in Italy that could remove the last legal stain against her. Germany rejects allegations that its fascinating acts of genocide in Gaza at UN court. Did I read that right? Oh, facilitating, not fascinating. move over to Asia now, and what's expected from the Japanese MP Kishida and the US visit. A major upgrade in defence ties is what they're thinking. South Korea's president faces a major test in a crucial parliamentary election. And Myanmar, formerly Burma, the military, they begin basic training for draftees as resistance forces keeps the pressure on. Cruelty for clicks. Cruelty for Clicks Cambodia is investigating YouTubers' abuse of monkeys at the Angkor UNESCO site. Moving over to Latin America now, and we've got protesters in southern Mexico set the state government building afire, ablaze, alight. They torch dozens of vehicles, and Haiti police recover hijacked cargo ship in a rare victory over a five-hour shootout with gangs. Panama, gosh, it's rough over there, isn't it? Panama Papers trial starts on the 27th. No, it doesn't. There's 27 people charged with a worldwide money laundering case. John Key should be involved in that. He's involved in the Panama Papers. John Key, former Prime Minister of New Zealand. Brisbane Supreme Court strike down military intervention thesis in the symbolic vote of democracy. Looking at the Middle East now, and the latest Netanyahu vows to carry out the Rafah invasion, which US says would be a mistake. A Moroccan activist is sentenced to 5 years for criticising the country's ties to Israel. And gunmen killed six policemen in an ambush in southeastern Iran, according to media reports. Iran flees jail conservationist. Frees a jailed conservationist who worked to save cheetahs. People that cheat.
There's some monkeys.
Oh, it is too. And we've got South Africa now. South African court rules former leader Jacob Zuma. He can contest the election. And floodwater swept a bus from a bridge in Kenya. All passengers survived. Overcrowded ferry capsizes off Mozambique coast. We heard about that, didn't we? Mozambique coast. Leaving at least 98 people dead, according to media reports. That was yesterday, wasn't it?
I think it was.
Rwanda's leaders are concerned over perceived US ambiguity about victims of the 1994 genocide. Yeah, we've been reading this before. A Dubai company's staggering land deal in Africa raises fears about risks to indigenous livelihoods. A fly there trying to walk on my... We've got flies this time of the year. You're not keeping the place clean enough, Digger. Put that cigarette out and go and wipe the bench down with some vinegar or something. Now, you can't get enough of the total solar eclipse, can you? No. Well, but the trouble is they could be clouded out. So you're going to have to wait a few years to see it again. The total eclipse woes North Americans. Cloud just part of the problem there for a while. Total solar eclipse. It crosses North America. Effaces. Anyway, so that's it. That's it for international news. Let's see. Now, I've got some interesting news that's just come in from Seymour Rocks. A Syrian president and family evacuated, apparently. The Iran attack upon Israel said likely victim ours. I'm not sure what that all means. We'll know before too long if this information is correct or not. This has come from Hal Turner, came through a couple of days ago. Multiple sources are indicating that Iran is going to directly initiate a response against Israel in the coming hours. This would be retaliation for Israel bombing the Iranian ambassador's house on the Iranian embassy grounds in Damascus, Syria, about 10 days ago. Earlier today, the Iranian foreign minister told Syrian President Assad that he should evacuate immediately. There is now reports that the President Bashar Assad, his family and his government have transferred to a bomb shelter near the Russian military base in the Kremlin. Wow. Israeli television, really? Oh, not the Kremlin, the Crimea. Israeli television channel 10 is telling citizens to expect an attack on Tel Aviv. Good grief. Iranian airspace has allegedly been closed until the 11th, but this can't be verified. Iran has issued a notice to air missions, that's NOTAM, announcing rocket launches. And I've got a printout of here of all this stuff that's happening on all the coordinates and all that. CNN is being told that multiple groups are expected to take part in the attack against Israel. Lastly, the Lebanese military are currently repositioning themselves on the Israeli border. In Tehran, it's now, this was when I got this, 4:10 a.m. on Tuesday, the last day of Ramadan. And whatever the retaliatory action Iran intends to take against Israel and the US forces, it is likely come within the next 24 to 48 hours. Ramadan ends at sunset with the sighting of the crescent moon, and the 3-day Eid al-Fitr festival will begin the next day. Apparently, the eclipse today obscured observation of the moon and caused a last-minute delay to Ramadan's end, so Eid is now expected to begin on Wednesday. A few hours ago, Iran foreign minister said that the manner in which Iran will respond to Israel will become clear in the battlefield. From Damascus, I declare loud and clear that Israel will be punished. And the US is responsible for the attack on the Iranian embassy, must be held to account. What such a response will actually involve is not clear, but now that Hamas has rejected the latest ceasefire proposal, reportedly because too few hostages are still alive, there aren't any significant off-ramps remaining that Iran could use to de-escalate the situation while still saving face after all their rhetoric about retaliation. The situation is more volatile and dangerous than many people realise. A top pro-regime Iranian nuclear expert in Tehran stated the Ayatollah Khamenei might formally end his fatwa against producing nuclear weapons on Tuesday. As with Iraq in 1981 and Syria in 2007, Israel doesn't take kindly to that threat. The newest construction at Iran's Natanz nuclear facility is so far underground that even the most specialised conventional weapons probably couldn't touch it. To put it lightly, that sticks Israel and the US between a rock and a hard place. And this could get ugly, folks. Let's hope for the best. Israel has circled the date in the calendar for repeatedly pledged Rafah invasion, according to the Prime Minister. Jerusalem hasn't yet briefed Washington on the matter. Biden administration says, adding that Israel has agreed to hold off until Netanyahu aides discuss the matter further with D.C. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said Monday that he has set a date for the IDF to launch its much-anticipated offensive in the southern Gaza city of Rafah. A victory over Hamas requires entering Rafah and eliminating the terrorist battalions there. This will happen. There is a date, Netanyahu said in a video statement which didn't reveal the timing of the planned operation, of course. The Premier has announced his authorization of IDF operational plans for Rafah at least four times over the past 2 months, but no offensive is anticipated in the immediate future, particularly after the IDF on Sunday withdrew entirely from Khan Yunis, further shrinking its troops presence in Gaza. The IDF has roughly 30,000 troops in Gaza at the peak of the war, but now is down to several thousand, even before the latest withdrawal, far fewer than the presence required to carry out a major ground invasion. I've actually got a little clip here. I wonder if it'll play. No, it won't play. It's just a video. Just a picture. There it is. Okay, sorry, I can't take that call. I can't talk now. I'll call you back. Can't talk. I'll be there soon. Oh, no, I won't. I'm not going to be there soon. That's my man over in another town. We're going to buy a dog today, aren't we, Digger? We're going to have a look at a heading dog. Yeah, I want to see him working, though, before I buy him. Let's go over to Steve Kirsch and see if he's got anything interesting there to say. A summary of the evidence against the COVID. There's a quick summary of the key pieces of evidence that have taken together show that COVID is a problem. COVID vaccines are unsafe. Oh, we talked about that yesterday. So, yeah, that's it. It's 17 minutes away from 7. Let's play a song we've got from, we've got to hear about Brian Tamaki. Let's hear that. This is a Christian Voice New Zealand.
I've stated it many times in the past, and I'm going to state it again here for the record. I'm never have been a fan of Brian Tamaki nor Destiny Church. However, I will say this about the man and his congregation. They're certainly out there. Now, while I'm not a fan, and to be honest, there are probably more in my cap than there are in his, but not a fan, but more of an admirer of what he's doing. Look, I don't agree with how he's doing things, but I do admire the fact that he's the only name related to Christianity in his church that are in the news. Over the Easter weekend, the real message appeared to be lost in the media as the bunny, the road toll, the weather, trading hours and Tamaki dominated the news cycle. If you need to gauge how the hand-wringers, the conspiracy theorists, the whingers, the woke, the sanctimonious, the self-righteous, the complacent, the smug, the self-satisfied, the condescending, supercilious, patronising, haughty, disdainful, lofty, pompous, snobbish, and the politically correct feel, then the social media is the place where you can read comments and look at pictures filled with half-truths, all of which are meant to arouse envy, provoke anger, or inspire and condemn greed. Can I say, if you want to know people's opinions about Brian Tamaki, then social media is the obvious place to go, particularly if you like the rest of the sheep in the news media who disapprove of Tamaki and share the view he's nothing but a terrorist, a money grabber who preys on his congregation's credit cards each Sunday. He's a gang leader, and so it goes on. Yeah, let's not forget that he's opinionated, transphobic, self-entitled, self-proclaimed, arrogant. Have I forgotten everything? Oh yeah, extremist. Not a fan of what or how Tamaki and his followers conduct themselves, and they paint rainbow crossings, stand in opposition to people who are pro-Gaza, or how they make a lot of noise about what's genuinely wrong in this country. Brian Tamaki is in the news, not because he wants to be. I may be wrong about that, but he's the only, and I mean the only church leader in this country to stand against the tide of public opinion and call out those who call evil good and good evil, who are putting darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. I'm sure you've heard that before. So call Tamaki transphobic because he dares to stand up to the LGBTQ plus community in this country because their lifestyle is abhorrent to the God he serves. Compare his actions now to US President Joe Biden, who officially declared March 31st to be Transgender Day of Visibility on the same day that Christians around the world were celebrating Resurrection Sunday. Now, Tamaki stands fearlessly to the veracity of vocal condemnation from many in our country who believe him to be a bigot because he stands in and speaks about the elephant in the room that basically we're too afraid to speak about. Yes, I have admiration for anyone who stands against the evil practices which happen in this country, which has changed the culture of what was a God-fearing Christian country, and these people that Tamaki rails against have. Now, not only does Tamaki cop criticism from the secular world, but also from within his own Christian community. Look, I don't agree with Tamaki's methods, but then I ask the question, if Jesus himself were to walk down the main streets of Auckland or Gisborne, what is it that he would do? Remember, we're talking about a man who told us to love one another, love your neighbour as yourself, and yet reacted to the traders and the money changers in the temple who turned the place of worship into, and I quote, a den of thieves, end of quote. You can read the account of in any of the Gospels, but to be fair to Tamaki, even Jesus had his critics, but both are right to be and show a righteous anger at what is wrong. Yep, Brian Tamaki's out there. He's making people uncomfortable. He's grabbing the headlines, but Brian Tamaki may well be a bit self-centred. He may well like the spotlight, but stop and think about whose name is he doing all this in. If you go to church on Sunday, where's the condemnation of society from the pulpit? Where's the message of sin, reconciliation with God, even redemption, forgiveness? And you know, I might even add the word truth. Tell me, if Brian Tamaki makes you feel uncomfortable, if Tamaki makes your pastor uncomfortable, ask yourself why. If he makes us uncomfortable, is it because he's a Christian and acts on behalf of the God that we all serve? Then ask yourself why. Yes, the meek are going to inherit the earth, but as it has to be a huge but, is the world you want to inherit be filled with spaces at the table because you failed to warn others to change their course of action? If you're not prepared to make a stand against this world, be comfortable in your little pristine church on a Sunday, not even cause a ripple in the pond of society, then I can suggest that you take heed of Jesus. When he said in Matthew 7, verse 21, he says, you know, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who's in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out the demons, and in your name perform many miracles? In verse 23, then Jesus says, I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me you go, you evildoers. Once again, I am not for one moment endorsing the methods used by Tamaki and Destiny Church, but I openly endorse the action. Tamaki's in the news. He's often in the news for many reasons, mainly because his actions do grab attention. I don't know if you've noticed, but all his positive works fail to. And I'm talking about how he's embraced the South Auckland community, how his Man Up program has brought down the levels of domestic violence. If you want to look for good rather than sensational, then you'll find it in the Destiny Church. I've never ever met Brian Tamaki, never watched his preaching videos, never ever been to a Destiny Church building, but I do know he is grabbing attention, and by his actions, he's highlighting opposition towards what we deep down oppose ourselves. Yes, Tamaki's in the news, Destiny Church is in the news. Let me end with this question. What has your pastor, your church done to express its opposition publicly in order to condemn the culture in which we live? Like Tamaki, does your church, your pastor, your shepherd, answer the question from God found in Psalm 94:16, where he asks, who will rise up for me against the wicked? Who will stand for me against those who practice iniquity? One thing about Tamaki is, he is not silent. And I encourage him to keep putting the questions out there, because, and this may be hard for Christianity in New Zealand to swallow, but Tamaki has a mandate to do so. You can find that in Ezekiel 3:18 and 19, where it says, if I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, and you give him no warning, nor to speak to warn the wicked from his wicked way, in order to save his life, that wicked person shall die for his iniquity, but his blood I'll require at your hand. But if you warn the wicked, and he does turn from his wickedness or from his wicked way, he shall die for his iniquity, but you'll have delivered your soul. Not a fan of Tamaki, but sometimes, you know, you just have to stand up and know that God has your back.
There we are. That was interesting, wasn't it? I didn't get to hear all of that. Hey, I've got a song coming up now for Digger. This one's for you, mate, in your wilder days. And then 7 o'clock, we'll have a look at the weather forecast, see what's going on there. We'll also have a refresh on the main news articles and see if there's any new news for New Zealand.
Do it. You tell me every single secret in your mind. smell of cigarette smoke.
Listening to The Wireless with Morgan Wade and Wilder Days. Great little song there from her. She's got some good songs out, isn't she, Digger?
Oh, she's lovely. She's a lovely wee looking thing too.
That's enough of that, mate. All right, 4 minutes away from seven, and we'll have a look around. We'll have a skitter around the newspapers and just see what the headlines are right after this.
Your home for the news.
They do a great job of breaking down the big story.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
All right, but before we do, let's go over to the Hatch Report. Now, there's a great many people are falling sick and dying when they should be alive and well. The Ministry of Health has been hiding these disturbing facts while quietly and hypocritically acknowledging their staff have a right to avoid these risks. They have not just gaslighted the public, they have recklessly put their lives at great risk. Now, this is broken families and communities pitting one against another, and has caused tragedies affecting families across the nation, while the Ministry of Health and the government are going through torturous and secretive processes in order to conceal what is happening. Moreover, they have plans to continue to roll out more experimental vaccines. Let's go over to the Centrist now and the top story there. New Zealand unprepared for EV fire risks. An Official Information Act request document revealed part two, the Centrist's exclusive investigation into the government's lack of preparedness in dealing with the potential for an EV fire. You'll find them at thecentrist.co.nz. But here are the facts. Maritime New Zealand, they lack formal guidance on EV carriers on ferries, and Kiwi Rail have implemented some fire safety risk measures, but these may be insufficient. Also, top stories at the Centrist, Kiwis increasingly feeling stressed at making mortgage payments as increasing numbers of accounts pass the due date. And could the public lose control of the nation's shoreline due to poorly drafted legislation, and according to activist judges as well? They've got anyone who imagines customary rights and marine title might be confined to gathering shellfish or gathering hungi stones is mistaken. The World Economic Forum promoted business cease for diversity. I think you got that one wrong. Never mind. We'll go to the Otago Daily Times, and the top story there is the government says the scheme not checked on. The government admits it has failed to check whether a $1 billion scheme to tackle homelessness is getting the people into homes, including in the South Island. Opposition to a pop-up container depot. Residents of the Dunedin suburb are disappointed at not being consulted about a container yard they say will block their views and clog up an already dangerous section of the highway. That is the Otago Daily Times. Moving over to Wellington Press now. The death limit for endangered sea lions has dropped. New Zealand sea lions is the world's rarest, but Fisheries Minister Shane Jones is scrapping protections designed to keep the mammals from dying in fishing nets. Council backtracked on third wetlands case after a failed prosecution. A flawed method used by officials to identify wetlands is under scrutiny after botched case that led to one wrongful imprisonment and another person losing their business. Other stories from the Post. Wellington Water fails on leak backlog but gets $1 million. Gets another $1 million. Council keeps the money tap on for Wellington Water to fix leaks, despite much of the first $1 million boost going to blowouts and delayed work. That is the story, the top stories on the front page of Wednesday, the 10th of April's Post at Wellington. Let's go over to One News now. And Winston Peters, the UN talks focus on the international challenges in the Pacific region. Foreign Minister and the small Pacific states rely on collective action to tackle challenges such as sea level rises, which is absolute bullshit. There's been no sea level rises. Sustainable economic development, which is just a United Nations way of taking land off private owners. Ireland has elected their youngest country's ever leader as the new MP. Simon Harris takes over as head of Ireland's three-party coalition government from Leo Varadkar, who announced his surprise resignation last month. Three dead and four missing after an explosion at an Italian hydroelectric plant. The blast occurred underwater at the plant on Lake Suvania, 70 kilometres north of Bologna. And Fergo Muriwai Renta is shocked at the seven-day notice to leave her home. Sam Armstrong was given an urgent notice to leave after the Auckland Council assessed the land at risk. It was said it was at Category 3, but she'd lived there for a year since the cyclone, that was Gabrielle. So why the haste? She says it's not justified. That's the top stories over at the One News. Moving across the News Hub now, Transport plans to raise a major highway speed limit, Transport New Zealand, up to 110 kilometres per hour. You can find out what they know over at newshub.co.nz. Also in Transport, we drive on the left. A video emerges of a shocking near miss on the same highway as the quadruple fatal crash. The video has emerged just weeks after four people died in a collision on the same road. Transport policy that has people fuming. It's being met with angry feedback. I've got to click on it because can't really tell you much about that, can I? We've got a video which I've just got to get rid of, and then I'll be able to tell you about it. The government's policy statement will leave no doubt as to what the direction it wants to head in when it comes to transport. Not everyone's on the same motorway, though. The GPS, that's not to be confused with global positioning systems, are documents which outline the political aims of various sectors, including housing, transport, and the big one, health. Theoretically, there is a 10-year plan, and they should only come out every decade. But the Herald's deputy political editor, Thomas Coughlin, he says that in reality they're done much more frequently because governments change and they aim to deliver on their campaign promises. Ministers can't keep their hands off the tools that they want to constantly be changing things, he says. Coughlin thinks of the importance of Kiwis to be informed about documents. It is important. And what's in them. And so on the detail, if you have a look at that, there's the draft GPS is generally opened for consultation, which gives the opportunity for feedback before things get finalised, and anyone can have their say. And you should care about the government's policy statement as much as you care about the budget, because this is how the things that you voted for get done, things that you like and things that you don't like, and you need to know what's going on. The GPS, which has caused particular angst at the moment, is the one at hand on the land transport, particularly in Auckland. The Transport Minister, Simeon Brown, says it will unlock infrastructure investments that's needed to help Aucklanders get where they need to go quickly and safely. But the Herald senior writer, Simon Wilson, thinks it will do the opposite, especially once the city rail link is finished. He says that we're going to have double the capacity of our trains network, so many of those road crossings are going to become dangerous and will be stopping traffic a lot more. There's one in Auckland where it's going to stop traffic for three quarters of every hour. Really? That's a long time, isn't it? And which is clearly going to infuriate drivers, says Wilson. Other news, Wellingtonians face more bus train disruptions. That was on Monday. It's old news. Minister shuts down call for law change requiring doctors to report to New Zealand Transport if a patient is unfit to drive. The review into the guidelines won't mean any changes to the law. A major Auckland highway is reopened after a truck and trailer crash. Authorities earlier closed the crucial section of State Highway 16. There we are. That's it. Now we're getting talking about Eastern. That's it there. Over to Radio New Zealand, and heavy rain batters Westland with more to come. South Westland is battered by heavy rain overnight, and the West Coast Emergency Management is monitoring the rivers. Other top stories, builders keen on the RMA change to push Papakianga housing. What's that?
I don't know. State housing, I suppose.
New surgeons head overseas because of the lack of jobs here in New Zealand. And parents of school shooter sentenced to up to 15 years in jail. That was in overseas, isn't it? Yeah, it's in Michigan. Michigan school shooter sentenced to up to 15 years in prison. That was the parents. Oh, they don't look very happy. The mother and father of the Michigan teen who shot and killed four classmates were each, he was only 12 years old, each sentenced to 10 and 15 years in prison on Tuesday. I think that's right. Got to take responsibility for their little kids. After a jury convicted them of manslaughter in a rare case of parents being held responsible in a school shooting. Jennifer and James Crumley, and Ethan Crumley's parents, that's the boy that did it, were sentenced immediately after several parents of the victims gave emotional impact statements at an Oakland County courtroom. The sentencing came immediately after several parents of the victims gave emotional impact statements at the Oakland County Court. Didn't we just say that? They said it again. Oh, it looks terrible. They're in prison outfits. She's got a black and white one on and he's got an orange one on. Ethan Cumberley was he was 15 at the time. I thought it was a 12-year-old. No, that hasn't come up yet. That's another one. That was another country anyway. He was 15 at the time of the shooting at the Oxford High School in 2021. He pleaded guilty in 2022 to four counts of first-degree murder and other charges and was sentenced to life imprisonment without parole in December. 15-year-old. Boy. In remarks to the court before sentencing, Jennifer Crumley, 46, said that she expressed her deepest sorrow and said that she had no inkling her son was capable of killing. My husband and I used to say, we have the perfect kid. I truly believe that we did, she said. I didn't have a reason to do anything different. This is not something I foresaw. Of course not. I mean, even God raises unruly children. In the Bible it says the children of Israel, they were naughty. So I punish them. Got to punish your kids when they're naughty. Can't have that. Got to fix them, nip in the bud when they're little, otherwise they do bigger things, worse things when they get older. It's my idea anyway. Hey, it's just gone 7, we better go. We've got to go and get that dog and get some metal today, buy some axles. Build a trailer. Other news? Nope, that's it. Let's have a look at the forecast for the whole country. It's 7:08. We're getting pretty close to it anyway. We'll do a quick refresh on that, and I don't think people will be going out boating today, so we'll just have a look at the short forecast for the whole country. First of all, the extremes. Banks Peninsula is at 21.2 degrees right now. Waiuru's coldest, 6.2 degrees. The windiest place is Lyell Bay with 39 kilometres of wind whipping through there. Mount Cook is the rainiest place in the country. It's wet there, 1.4 millimetres. Not as bad as it was this morning. Somewhere else in the South Island had 6.8 millimetres of rain falling. That's per hour. Temperatures across the country, Stewart Islands on 11 degrees, Chatham Islands 15, Invercargill's 13, Dunedin 15, Timaru 11, Christchurch 19, Queenstown 15, Franz Josef sitting on 16, Westport 17, Blenheim 17 as well. Christchurch, yep, we had them, didn't we, 19 degrees, Nelson 18 degrees, Wellington 17, Masterton 16, Napier's on 18, Palmerston North has 11 degrees, New Plymouth's on 18, Taupo and Rotorua on 15 and 16 degrees. Gisborne 12 degrees, Hamilton 12, Tauranga 19, Auckland 17, Whangarei 19 and Kaitaia 20 degrees. The short forecast, significant heavy rain for southern Westland over the next few days. North into Taranaki including Taumarunui. Fine spells today and the odd shower. For Coromandel, the Bay of Plenty and Taupo, mostly cloudy with a few showers. For Whanganui and Taihape to Wellington, also for Gisborne and Wairarapa, generally fine today but cloudy periods about Kapiti and Wellington. And a chance of a shower about northern Gisborne. For Marlborough, Nelson and Buller, mostly cloudy with scattered showers, but fine about Kaikoura Coast with the high cloud. For Westland and Fiordland, periods of rain with heavy falls, especially about the ranges. For Otago, Canterbury and Southland, often cloudy with scattered rain at times. However, about the Canterbury and Otago headwaters is going to be rain with very heavy falls. Chatham Islands, fine weather today in cloudy periods. The extended forecast for Thursday in the North Island, rain or showers for most, possibly heavy, but only isolated showers for Gisborne and Hawke's Bay. In the South Island tomorrow, rain becoming widespread with heavy falls, gale or possibly severe gale northerlies, that's going to be in exposed places for both islands. On Friday, for the North Island, rain heavy at times, easing to showers in the west of Whakatane. In the South Island on Friday, rain or showers, possibly heavy, easing to it in the east. On Saturday for the North Island, showers clearing in the north about Hawke's Bay and Gisborne. In the South Island on Saturday, showers becoming isolated. The long-range forecast for the Chatham Islands, often cloudy with the chance of a shower on Thursday and Friday as northerlies become strong. Showers on Saturday and northerly winds will be easing. There we are. It's 10 minutes past 7. Thanks very much for having us. We'll be back tomorrow, Lord willing, with some more news across New Zealand and the world. And we'll bring you any other little tidbits that we can find as well. So we'll see you tomorrow morning at 5 o'clock, bright and early, with the Rooster Call.
Another discovery a few months ago, there was a discovery that if you've had two COVID vaccines, you start to produce a little bit of this new antibody, this IgG4. But if you've had three vaccines, if you had the booster shot, your IgG4 levels go up 500-fold.
Wow.
And then suddenly it goes from 0.04% to 20% of the antibodies you're producing. And that shifts your immune system completely. You're not producing IgG1 and 3 anymore, and these are the antibodies that actually handle the viral infections, but they also handle cancer surveillance.
Wow.
So you're more likely now to get infected, not just with COVID-19. So you see people who've had their booster shot, three vaccines, four vaccines, five vaccines, they keep getting reinfected with COVID-19 over and over, or they get sick very often with influenza. But you're also reducing cancer surveillance as well. That could be another mechanism by which all these turbo cancers are arising in people who've had three or more shots.
Well, still overseas now, and Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has selected a date for the IDF's invasion into Rafah. He's adamant the plan needs to take place to win the war against Hamas. Israel's National Security Minister has warned Mr. Netanyahu his administration is under threat unless he pushes forward with the offensive. Mr. Netanyahu made the announcement despite negotiations being still underway between Israel and Hamas on a potential ceasefire and hostage release deal.
Today I received a detailed report on the talks in Cairo. We are constantly working to achieve our goals, first and foremost, the release of all our hostages and achieving a complete victory over Hamas. This victory requires entry into Rafah and the elimination of the terrorist battalions there. It will happen. There is a date.
Content moderation policies into a weapon against supporters of then-President Jair Bolsonaro. I say all of this as an independent and nonpartisan journalist. Not a fan of either Bolsonaro or Trump. My own political views are very moderate, but I know censorship when I see it. The Twitter files revealed also that Google, Facebook, Uber, WhatsApp, and Instagram betrayed the people of Brazil. If this evidence is proven and admitted to, the executives of those companies behaved like cowards. They provided the Brazilian government with personal registration data and telephone numbers without a court order. Therefore, they violated the Brazilian laws. When Twitter refused, to their credit, to provide Brazilian authorities with private user information, including direct messages, the government of Brazil attempted to sue and hold Brazil's top Twitter attorney in criminal contempt. When I was in Brazil in 1992, at the time, the slogan of the Workers' Party was "Without fear of being happy." In recent days, I've spoken to dozens of Brazilians, including professors, journalists, and respected lawyers. All of them told me that they are shocked by what is happening here. They told me that they themselves are afraid to speak their mind and that the Lula government, the Workers' Party government, is complicit in creating this climate of fear. Look, Brazil belongs to the Brazilians. It's not my country. Such there's limits to what I'm capable of doing. But what I can say is that there are many Brazilians who do not feel safe saying what must be said. Alexandre de Moraes is a tyrant, and the only way to deal with tyrants is to confront them. It's up to Brazil's senators now to confront this tyrant, and it's up to the people of Brazil to demand that their senators do so. In 1992, my best Brazilian friend gave me a t-shirt that I loved. On it was a cartoon of Brazil's military dictators who had painted the sky black.
Ruben, wake up.
What?
I think this might be it.
What, the baby? We're having the baby?
I think so.
Oh, should I call the doctor?
Yes, hurry.
All right. Wait, I can't find the number.
Just look in the phone book.
All right, right. Wow, did you see this new phone book?
What?
Fiesta Pages. Look at all the colorful ads.
Ruben.
All right. Physicians. Boy, honey, this new Fiesta Pages phone book is really easy to read.
Please, hurry.
Hey, guess how many pinata makers there are in the McAllen area?
Ruben!
Hey, and look at this neat golf course guide.
Ruben, what about me? please.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did you want to look at the special Fiesta Pages shopping guide?
No, I want you to find my doctor's number.
Oh, I've already got that. It's easy to find numbers in the Fiesta Pages.
Wait a second.
What? What?
They're gone.
What's gone?
The pains.
Oh. Do you think it was just hunger?
Hunger?
Because if it's hunger, the Fiesta Pages has a special dining guide right here.
Ruben.
Let's see, barbecue, Chinese.
Just about everyone is excited about the new Fiesta Pages. It's the most colorful, most reader-friendly phone book you've ever used. Find it fast, find it fun in the new Fiesta Pages.
Now, another hour of the best of the 70s, 80s, 90s, and noughties. This is The Wireless.
I don't know what time zone you're in, but I hear you up like I need a friend.